And in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and at verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. John speaks in his letter in chapter 5 something of the same. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Here John is referring to victory over the world. And it is our faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that gives us the victory. But Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And it is Satan who, in our text, is spoken of as being overcome by believers. It is a wonderful thing to become a Christian and know that in Christ you will be on the winning side. And we are told here that Christians overcome the evil one by three things: the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. It may seem a long march to heaven. My math is not very good, but since I was saved, it's just over 70 years, and that's quite a long march. And to be able to overcome, to be able to overcome the enemy, is something that needs to be consistent if we are to reach heaven. But the reason I've been stressing that it isn't us, it is the Lord. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It is his strength by which we will overcome the world. But believers are on the victory side. And those who wish to join us and be on the victory side need to believe these three things that occur in verse 11. How then do believers in Christ overcome the evil one? We read there that Michael fought with his angels against the dragon. There are interpretations of that that vary. I tend to think that refers to the Saviour upon the cross, when a spiritual battle that reached to heavenly places was accomplished, where sin was destroyed, in essence, where Satan was cast down out of heaven with his angels who became the evil spirits, and where we now as the church live in our place, the place protected, the place that was given to the woman, the church, to flee to. And when that happened in the glory, when Calvary happened, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, because the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Christ on the cross was the first one to overcome Satan, but in Christ, believers overcome Satan. The first great victorious sword is that they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the sacrificial lamb was the most significant pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb that was sacrificed went without struggle to the place of death. It had to be pure. It had to be a male. But the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is and was without sin, and offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. By that sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, to take away the sins of his people. So how do his people overcome the evil one? It is by their putting their absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And first and foremost, in a particular attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ, namely that he came to die and to rise again. It is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on which our victory is founded. And we, by our faith in Christ, but especially in that victory on Calvary, overcome the wicked one. That is our faith that overcomes the world. Oftentimes in the New Testament, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is called precious. I suppose it was no different from our blood, but it's precious because it stands for the giving up of his life, the flowing away of his life, while in the prime of life, to bear the sins of his people. And every individual, every single one of those people love Christ, for they have known their sin, for they lived a long while in sin, too long. And only when his blood was covering them, when the Lord passed over their sins, because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, only then did his people begin to overcome the world. Our forefathers used to speak of living victoriously. I don't know if you feel you, how many days you have the victory and how many days you don't, or how many times you have the victory and how many times you don't. But overall, the message of the gospel is that those who believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing their iniquity for them will overcome Satan. This is the victory that the Lord gave, that Satan would be destroyed by his dear Son at the point of which he shed his blood. Afterwards, of course, he rose again. Afterwards, he ascended into heaven. But the central key point for which he came was to die on the cross of Calvary, to pay the price of the sins of all his people. It is the blood of the Lamb. by which we overcome. I was always taught very strongly when I was first converted that the Holy Spirit never points to himself, but always to Christ. And it is the delight of God that we should exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, for only by him can we come to the Father himself. And therefore it is that the believers in Christ come to the Father because of the shedding of his blood. That is the preeminent thing. That is the main thing. That is the center. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, said Cooper. And that was taking up Zechariah. There will be a fountain in that day. The picture of a fountain is a picture of water. But we're saved by the blood, and so the pictures are put together. There is a fountain filled with blood. The river of the water of life can also be used as an expression of the flowing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're separate things, but they describe the life-giving properties without which there would be no salvation. It is the blood of the Lamb. And the Father loves it that we should put our strength upon the Saviour, upon his precious blood, upon his sacrifice, upon his willingness to suffer for those whom the Father had chosen, though they were so wretched, though they were so far from him, that the victory lies in Christ. And those who are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, the victory lies with them in Christ. So believers overcome the evil one, the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, by the blood of the Lamb. It is the first principle of becoming a Christian. It is a shame that in many places that is not stressed as it should be. It might be possible to sit under a ministry and to hear about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, but never for that blood to be stressed. Now, nowhere was the love of Christ more clearly shown than that he gave his life for his friends. And that we are his friends who do his commandments, but we are his friends as those for whom he died. He died for those whom his Father chose and gave to him. This is the core of the gospel. Everything else springs from that. The life of a believer, the overcoming life, the victorious life, the life that holds on, arises out of that. Think much of Christ. Think much of the shedding of his blood. Think much of the love he has towards you, for he died for his friends. Think much of the Saviour. Think much, if you like, of the Old Testament Lamb. But always think Christ. His blood. In Egypt, that was just a picture. The Lord passed over when the blood was on the doors. When the blood is at the gateway of the love of our hearts, the Saviour, the blood of the Saviour placed on the lintels and the entrances to our heart, to our heart's love, then the Father passes over our sin. But not only did we overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb, our faith in him, but also by the word of their testimony. Now, we sang a hymn about the blood, as you know, And we sang a hymn about the Bible. And the word of their testimony can be looked at in two ways. The word of their testimony can be the Bible. Or the word of the testimony can be the witness that they each individually make. So we'll look at both of them. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. Now it is the Bible that testifies to Christ. This is the word of our testimony. We wouldn't know about Christ but for the Bible and the preaching of the gospel of which it speaks. And therefore, we overcome also because we believe the Bible. If we did not believe the Bible, our faith would be a bit tattered. Our faith would not be strong. If we only believe the Bible is partly true, then that raises great problems. If we only believe it's partly true, who can prove that the other part is true? If we believe that the Bible is altogether true, even though there is much we don't understand, and more that we will understand as we go along life's path. But if we believe the Bible, then it gives light. It tells us about God, tells us about man's state, tells us about Christ, tells us about all other things. So we overcome Satan by our use of the Bible and by our belief of what it says, which anchors what it says about Christ and his death. Unless we were natural human beings, we couldn't think like that. Now we are natural human beings. We have a Bible. And if we believe the Bible, that Bible anchors our faith because it is in the Bible that the cross of Christ, his shed blood, is most powerfully proclaimed. The only place where it's proclaimed. So we overcome the evil one by the word of our testimony. And the word that testifies to us is the Bible. Our faith in the Bible, our translation of the Bible, our publication of the Bible, all fulfilling the word of God that it will never depart. That no word or tittle of the law shall depart, as Christ said. But the blood of their But the word of their testimony may also refer to the continuing witness of a Christian. It is a shameful thing, and when it happens to us, we feel it most dreadfully inside, to turn away from Christ, to abandon the standards that he sets in the Bible. When we fail and we feel awful, though it doesn't always cost our salvation. All sins may be pardoned, except the sin against the Holy Ghost, which none of us will have committed. I keep stressing to you that the context of the sin against the Holy Ghost is to call white black and black white. And while it is that the Lord Jesus, there can't be any dichotomy between Jesus and the Spirit, but Jesus says that it's only the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that is the sin that can't be forgiven. Blasphemies against Christ, he says, can't be forgiven. How can it be divided? Well, it can't. But if you do not, if you sin against the Holy Ghost by saying that the Holy Ghost is evil, the only one who can point you to salvation you don't trust, you say is evil, you're saying the whole thing is evil, you've ruled out any possibility of salvation. Granted that, upon repentance, every sin. Of course, no murderer will be in heaven, no liar, no whoremonger, except saved liars, saved murderers, saved whoremongers. So the word of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is also the life that we live before unbelievers, and the words which we say. The life which we live is the more crucial, on the ground that the words which we say might not be believed anyway, but they certainly won't be believed if our life doesn't match up to it. So the word of the testimony by which we overcome the evil one is our persistence in giving witness to the Lord Jesus Christ by our lives. I find it encouraging to think, but also very daunting, that maybe it's only in me that some people will see Christ in their life. And what a poor, poor reflection that will be. But will it be enough? I pray, you pray, that your life might mirror the life of Christ, that you might preach the gospel, that it might be a forgiving life, that it may be a life of joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, all these things. But we overcome Satan by the word of our testimony. And that word, of course, is anchored in the Bible, but anchored in our lives. But we overcome Satan, of course, by our words, by the spreading of the gospel, by the way in which we engage with others, and if we feel the time is right, we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. We always have a guilty conscience, because we always think to ourselves, perhaps I should have used that occasion. We can't really tell whether this was the Lord's guidance that we didn't on that occasion, or whether it was our failing. Only time will tell. But we always feel it. We overcome by our words, the word of our testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of our testimony by which we came to know the Lord, how he worked in our lives to bring us to that point, drawing a parallel perhaps with others' lives, though the details are different. The word of our testimony. It may be that our testimony might be speaking, preaching about the words of the Bible. It may be that we speak from time to time. But however we testify, publicly or privately, however we do it, we overcome Satan. We're committed to what we say. We believe what we say. And people hearing what we say will often believe, but not always. But we do overcome Satan because we're acknowledging that the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the scriptures and witness to Christ is his downfall. And the third thing, they love not their lives unto the death. At my baptism, I was given a text from Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." It never occurred to me for many years that martyrdom was meant there. I always thought that "be faithful unto death" was keep going till you died, which it is, of course, but it can mean martyrdom. Whether in the context in the book of Revelation it means martyrdom is a moot point. It's not speaking particularly about that subject. But what does it mean to love not our lives unto the death? Well, it might mean martyrdom. If that were the case, I don't know for certain whether all I've ever believed and whether all I've ever spoken will be crowned in that way. Might the torture be so bad that I couldn't bear it? We don't know. But we passionately believe that when we have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimony, that the Lord would give us strength to face whatever martyrdom was required. But because martyrdom was not even required of John, who spoke of it, probably the only apostle who wasn't martyred, then we must look at what it means to love not our lives unto the death, in the sense of loving not our lives until we die. No suggestion of martyrdom. So we look at it that way. We overcome Satan by loving not our lives unto the death. Jesus said that those who grab their lives, he didn't use that term, will lose them. And that those who lose their lives for his sake will gain them. So here is a way to look at it differently. Our older grandsons, the children of Alistair, are grabbing life. They're travelling everywhere. I've no idea where they've been, haven't been. All they want to do is get everything they can out of life. And I think we understand that. You've heard me say probably, because I can't do very much nowadays, well, if you do it while you're young. But actually, that isn't particularly good advice. What the Bible says is to teach people not to love their lives unto the death. We shall find our lives in heaven. We shall find the fulfillment, the perfection, everything working together for good in heaven, but not here. And therefore this is not our home. We're just a passing through. And therefore it is right to us. And we overcome Satan by not loving our lives as long as we live. We're part of the world, but we're not of it. We are from above being converted, not from below. We do not love this life. We live in it. There are things we enjoy, there are things we hate. And perhaps if we are very ill or suffering a lot of pain, that teaches us in a way not to think too highly of the world. I discovered that old age teaches you the same thing. And you see every year, when you see they cut the season, spring things grow, then they flower and then they die. You see what's going to happen to us every year, but we may last 80 or 90 years, but still the same thing. The spring of life, the summertime of life, and the autumn of life, and eventually the winter. But we overcome Satan when we do not value our own lives above Christ. We live for him. We live to serve him. We are his citizens. We do not concern ourselves with the things of the world. And the more we can learn not to do that, the closer we will come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world, but of the world above. So we overcome Satan, and our faith can be described as overcoming when the blood of the Lamb is central to our faith and understood by our faith. The word of our testimony, the Bible itself, and what we derive from the Bible and bear testimony to, is another means of overcoming Satan. And living for him, or dying for him, is also the third prong of the overcoming of Satan. It's a wonderful calling. But it isn't an easy one. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit to be made perfect in our weakness. It is a wonderful thing even to look on this when you're unconverted and to think, I'd like to join those. May the Holy Spirit grant that we shall repent and do join this. It's a great, it is the winning side to be on, but it is costly. I used to think, when you saw world swimming championships, world champions swimmers, it's all very well, except that when they were 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, they got up at 4 in the morning to do 3 hours swimming, and they stayed up from 7 or 8 and 9 in the evening to do 3 hours swimming, because they were dedicated to swimming. And any expert in anything has given it a lot of time that others might have thought ought to be leisure time. If we are Christians, it's so wonderful. We have the blood of the Lamb, we have the Bible, and we have the Saviour to whom we dedicate our lives. May the Lord help us in these things, to the glory of his name. Amen.